You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. Last night, upwards of 20 million viewers turned out for the first GOP primary debate of the 2016 election, what looks to be a record-breaking television audience. The Fox News debate ran for 2 hours and included pointed questions to individual candidates about their histories and policies from three moderators.
The debate featured the top 10 candidates according to recent national polls. The seven remaining candidates debated on the same stage 4 hours earlier. Here's how that prime time debate began.
Is there anyone on stage, and can I see hands, who is unwilling tonight to pledge your support to the eventual nominee of the Republican Party and pledge to not run an independent campaign against that person? Again, we're looking for you to raise your hand now. Raise your hand now if you won't make that pledge tonight. Mr. Trump. Mr. Trump, to be clear, you're standing on a Republican primary debate.
I fully understand.
So the visual there, Donald Trump was the only one who had the hand up there and refused to rule out a third-party run. Coming up, we'll talk to Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporter about Governor Walker's performance last night, how it positions him moving forward. First, for the big picture of last night's debate, David Friedlander joins us. He's a contributing writer at the Daily Beast. David, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with that first question there. What did you make of that? It's almost certainly aimed directly at Donald Trump.
That was a remarkable moment. I mean, and Trump sort of took it as if he was a heel in professional wrestling. As Brett Baer said, I mean, that is the stage. It's a Republican primary debate stage. Where in the very city where the Republicans will nominate their candidate for president, to say you will not support the nominee, essentially handing the election to Hillary Clinton, was a remarkable moment. I have to say, I thought maybe it was a little bit unfair. And I actually thought that, I know Trump has been complaining all day that he was targeted by the moderators. And I actually don't think the moderators were probably hard enough on him. But that was a question they knew the answer to. I mean, he was clearly being singled out there. And it sort of set the tone for the whole evening.
And a lot of the interpretation of this event now from people, from Republicans, we're hearing some people say, yeah, Trump proved himself. He won the debate, from people who already supported Trump. A lot of mainstream Republicans saying he shot himself in the foot, especially with that answer, he's done. That's a lot of spread in the difference of opinion on that.
There really is. And I mean, it just goes to show you that, Trump is the Rorschach test of the Republican Party right now. I mean, what you see is whatever you want to see, I think. You know, this was the first time we've seen him elbow to elbow with Jeb Bush and Scott Walker and all these other guys, and we got to see how he does. And I think everybody is sort of waiting for the shoe to drop on the whole Trump phenomenon. I don't know if it will be from last night. I sort of don't think it will be. And then the question becomes, well, when is it? I mean, if you can sort of have nonspecific rambling answers, if you can, refuse to support the Republican nominee, if you can become the sort of villain of the room in this big arena and still become, soar past everybody else in the polls, what is it that ends up deflating that bubble? And I just don't know the answer to that.
We'll get into some of the non-Trump candidates, too. But first, as an event, as sometimes we think of political events, debates and others, is a little boring, a little stodgy, a little predictable. This wasn't any of those things, I don't think. This was a quick-paced, lively debate with a lot of candidates getting to speak their piece.
Oh, this was amazing. I mean, this was the most entertaining television I have seen in a very long time. I found myself sort of on the edge of my seat every time Trump would get to talk, and you just never knew what he was going to say. This was just a remarkable display. Usually in these debates, but what we expect to see, especially in the first debate, is candidates kind of just giving their stump speech, introducing themselves to their voters, many of whom don't know a lot about them, saying who they are, their biography, their values, what they want to do in office, and kind of ignoring the question. And, Trump aside for the moment, I mean, these guys really got into it with each other. There was a couple exchanges between Chris Christie and Rand Paul, Chris Christie and Mike Huckabee. I mean, they were funny. I thought it was remarkable television.
People are going to be watching polls closely nationally and in early primary states. Did anything happen last night that you think is going to move a candidate up or down in the polls significantly?
You know, I don't think we're going to see large movement because I think, I think there's just too many things going on right now. The race is sort of too fluid that if we did see large movement, it would be hard to kind of pin it to one moment in the debate or one performance in the debate. But that said, I mean, there was, as you mentioned, up top, I mean, there was a huge audience for this thing. I mean, and you got to think some of those were just political junkies like me, but a number of them were probably Republican primary voters who are kind of trying to decide who they want to support in this election. I think I saw somewhere that more people watched the debate last night than actually voted in the 2012 Republican primaries. But I don't think anybody really sort of shot themselves in the foot and was disqualifying for president. And, you know, some were better than others, and we can get into that. But I thought pretty much everybody kind of played the type, including our friend Donald Trump.
Talking to David Friedlander, a contributing writer for the Daily Beast, about last night's Republican presidential debate. Debates, really, you can join in. What did you think? 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. A lot of questions directed specifically to a particular candidate. A lot of interest here in Wisconsin to Governor Scott Walker. Here's a pointed question that moderator Megyn Kelly asked him.
Governor Walker, you've consistently said that you want to make abortion illegal, even in cases of rape, incest, or to save the life of the mother. You recently signed an abortion law in Wisconsin that does have an exception for the mother's life, but you are on record as having objected to it. Would you really let a mother die rather than have an abortion? And with 83% of the American public in favor of a life exception, are you two out of the mainstream on this issue to win the general election?
Well, I'm pro-life. I've always been pro-life. And I've got a position I think is consistent with many Americans out there in that I believe that that is an unborn child that's in need of protection out there. And I've said many a time that that unborn child can be protected, and there are many other alternatives that will also protect the life of that mother. That's been consistently proven.
David, your thoughts on Governor Walker's answer to that question?
I mean, I thought that was an incredibly pointed way of putting the question from Megyn Kelly here. I mean, I think that, you know, people, there had been some grumbling in Republican ranks that there were liberals who had been moderating these debates in 2012. And she sort of laid it out there. I mean, does that mean you're going to let the mother die? I think Scott Walker probably didn't do himself any favors in a general election there. But I think he also sort of didn't answer the yes or no that was put to him in a sort of clever way. I'm consistent on this view is what he said, and I'm pro-life, and, you know, obviously the cheers in the audience were there for him.
A lot of strong pro-life views in both debates yesterday. A lot of times in a general election, candidates try to moderate from that. It seems like the tone most candidates are taking, that might be hard to do in a general election. They're putting it right out there on an issue like abortion.
Yeah, I don't know how you walk away or, you know, moderate your stance on that. I mean, that was pretty tough, you know, questioning from Kelly there. Are you willing to let the mother die? And he essentially sort of shrugged and said, you know, if it's between the mother and the unborn child, I'm on the side of the unborn child. I think this is what Republicans wanted to avoid, having these kind of answers to these kind of questions. But they kind of just walked right into it and head first in a way.
Now, you mentioned earlier, nobody you thought rocketed to the front in this. Nobody ruined their campaigns here, but some you said did better than others. Who did you see maybe exceeding expectations, helping themselves in this debate?
Yeah, I thought Marco Rubio was very good. I thought he was very crisp and seems very presidential, and that's maybe the first bar you have to clear in these debates. Is this someone who I can see as a plausible nominee? He's young. He hasn't been in the Senate very long. So I think he needed to do that, and he did. I think John Kasich came across how he wanted to come across, as very unscripted, likable. He had that sort of hometown crowd behind him, cheering him on. And others kind of did what I thought they sort of needed to do. Chris Christie needed to show his toughness, and he kind of uses Rand Paul as a punching bag to show he's tough. And if I had to, people that maybe underperformed, and it would just be slight, I thought that Jeb Bush, who, when you sort of see Jeb on the stump, he's a really bright guy. He knows the nuances of policy in and out of anyone I've ever seen in politics. But he seemed sort of mangled his answers last night. He seemed like he knew what he wanted to say, but he got the sort of order of what he wanted to say it all wrong. And I thought he came out a little flat. And other people, I mean, there were so many people on stage who sort of didn't hear from them for a very long time and wondered what happened to them. I thought, you know, Ben Carson, I kind of, my eyes kind of glazed over when he talked. A lot of Huckabee, I thought the same thing.
You mentioned Ohio Governor John Kasich with the home field advantage. Here's one exchange. Megyn Kelly asked him for an explanation of why he accepted Medicaid expansion funds over the Affordable Care Act, obviously a taboo issue for Republicans. Here was his response.
Well, first of all, Megyn, you should know that that President Reagan expanded Medicaid three or four times. Secondly, I had an opportunity to bring resources back to Ohio to do what? To treat the mentally ill. 10,000 of them sit in our prisons. It costs $22,500 a year to keep them in prison. I'd rather get them their medication so they could lead a decent life. Secondly, we are rehabbing the drug addicted. 80% of the people in our prisons have addiction problems. We now treat them in the prisons, release them in the community, and the recidivism rate is 10%, and everybody across this country knows that the tsunami of drugs is threatening their very families. So we're treating them and getting them on their feet. And finally, the working poor, instead of them having come into the emergency rooms, where it costs more, where they're sicker, and we end up paying. We brought a program in here to make sure that people could get on their feet.
Kasich squeaked in the polls, David, but he was there. He got to say his piece. He's regarded as the most moderate in this field. Did he make his case that he can be a convincing candidate?
He has a very long way to go. I mean, he would, you know, this is a very deep and talented field of Republicans. Candidates. And any other year, he would be in the top tier, I think. You know, he's from Ohio. He was in Congress. He's a former talk show host. Now he's a very popular governor. He won his reelection, you know, by something like 30 or 40 points in the ultimate swing state in the nation. But, you know, a lot of things are going to have to go right for John Kasich to really make a difference. I mean, Jeb will have to falter. Probably a couple other people would have to falter, too. But, you know, he's running as this sort of different kind of Republican, quote unquote, you know, one who cares about social programs, who cares about addressing the poor. And that's really not what a Republican primary audience wants to hear. They want to hear the most conservative people, and that's who they vote for. These are the most committed conservative Republican voters. And so when you sort of are running against the party in a way, which is his shtick, it's a little bit Chris Christie's shtick, it's a little bit Jeb Bush's shtick. You know, you're kind of running cross purposes to the very people whose vote you're going after there.
We're talking to David Friedlander with The Daily Beast, looking at last night's Republican debate on Fox News. We'd like to hear from you. Did you watch? Who do you think made the best case if you're a Republican primary voter? Maybe down in Iowa yourself, did it help you make up your mind about the candidates? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. We're continuing our conversation with David Friedlander, contributing writer at The Daily Beast, about the first Republican debate on last night.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your reactions or post on the Central Time Facebook page. Straight to our callers, we've got Troy on the line in Milwaukee. Troy, hi.
Hello. I am not a Republican, but I did watch the debate because, you know, I'm always curious, you know, the way things are going. And I just have to say, even though I'm not a Republican, I was impressed with Trump. And I think the one thing that, you know, I really liked is that transparency and genuineness that he has. And he doesn't really throw a lot of statistics and facts and, you know, throw a lot of things out there that we're sick of hearing. You know, he kept it pretty genuine. And I like the fact that he was basically not really busting out his own party members, but being very transparent about how the process works, saying, you know, I would buy politicians and, you know, and putting that out there, people know this and they like hearing that because it just keeps it very transparent. And I think the Democrats could use a Donald Trump.
Troy, thanks a lot for the call. David, I mean, he really summed up the appeal for a lot of people of Donald Trump, didn't he?
I think that's exactly right. I mean, everyone sort of thinks, right, that politics is fake, that everybody just talks in sound bites, that politicians are bought and sold. And Trump sort of says all the things everyone kind of thinks but is afraid to say. And he says it to other politicians standing next to him. I mean, that was a great moment, as your call alluded to. That we, I've given money to each of you, you know, and I got things in return from it. And I, you know, I mean, Trump, it's and the fact that he doesn't sort of pretend to have policy solutions for vexing problems. You know, his policy solution is Donald Trump, right? And even though many of his ideas are sort of, they're all over the map, they're unrealistic, they're borrowed from Democratic ideas. So yeah, he's really a sort of force of nature out there.
Troy, thanks for the call. We'll go to Mary now in Gaze Mills. Mary, hi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I watched the debate last night also, and my favorite candidate is Mr. Huckabee. It's because he was right on the money regarding the pro-life issue, and I think your analyst is flat wrong regarding that's an issue that the Republicans should shy away from. In fact, the more the truth is spoken about the life of the unborn person growing inside of a mother's womb, the more people rise to support that. And it's well known that there's a I regret my abortion movement that's out there today. A lot of women are wounded by that, and they're afraid to speak up because the prominent media still speaks of it as a right to kill your child.
Mary, thanks for the call. And Huckabee, do you think for people making the case for the pro-life movement, David, that Huckabee really is going to stand out for them as he did for our caller?
Well, you know, I think what the caller says is interesting there. And my point is just that the sort of politics being where they are now, is the nation is sort of generally pro-choice with certain restrictions, but they're not, you know, they're not rape and incest pro-life, and they're not health of the mother pro-life. And, you know, politics on this could move, I think, relatively quickly. I think younger people are maybe a little bit more pro-life than previous generations. It's a polling on that. But, you know, certainly if you all and just, you know, the Planned Parenthood videos that are coming out could also move public opinion on this. But yes, I mean, you know, if you are pro-life, Huckabee is your person. But I mean, I think everyone there has pretty much had, you know, identical opinions about the life issue.
Thanks a lot for the call. We're talking about last night's Republican presidential debates with David Friedlander. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Jennifer is with us next in Cassville. Jennifer, hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
Good. What do you think?
I did watch the debate last night, and I was a bit appalled about the fact that every single one of these guys seems to be a climate change denier, and that all they want to see is a deregulation to the point of polluting our planet to death. And maybe that's how they'll get the climate to change, is by attrition of human beings. Who knows? But I think as far as the social question of Governor Kasich helping the mentally ill, bravo to him. If I ended up having him as my president, me being a Democrat, maybe I wouldn't feel quite so wanting to move to Canada.
Jennifer, thanks for the call. I mean, that could be a problem for Kasich, couldn't it? I think, and I've seen elsewhere, not just from Jennifer, David, Democrats saying, hey, this guy seems okay, which isn't the kind of thing you necessarily want to hear when you're trying to win the Republican primary.
Yeah, exactly. Being the Republican favorite Democrat, Democrat favorite Republican, is not exactly the winning ticket there. You know, the question for Kasich, as was put in last night, you know, if he's going to invoke God and religiosity in expanding Medicaid, why isn't he just a Democrat, and why doesn't he expand every social program? Because that would be the sort of religious Christian thing to do, and I'm not sure he really had an answer for that.
Jennifer, thanks for the call. We'll go next to Jocelyn in Sheboygan. Jocelyn, hi.
Yes, hi. I had to listen to it on the radio, and I really listened carefully, and I think that as far as Walker is concerned, he was bland. He talked like he was so over-rehearsed and like as if he was reading it. That's why he talked so fast. He wanted to make sure he didn't make a mistake. It reminded me of Eddie Murphy in that one movie where he was trying to con somebody. Also, I thought Kasich had the most empathy, and if having empathy or not having empathy is a badge of honor for the Republicans. I mean, they're just... They all sounded the same. They said the same thing, scripted.
Thanks for the call, Jocelyn. I'm running short on time. I want to get David in on this. Did you read this, or did you see other people reading Governor Walker's performance as sounding stiff or over-rehearsed?
Yeah, I mean, I thought Walker was a little flat. I mean, Walker sort of has two things he has to do, right? On the one hand, he is this Midwestern nice guy, and on the other hand, he's the guy with a backbone who's stared down the unions and stared down the university system. So he sort of caught between these sort of two poles. And I think he kind of, depending on the audience, veers between which sort of Scott Walker we see in a way. And as for the Kasich point, I mean, just to say, I think the issue with him is that Republicans don't want to hear that they're being unfair, ungodly, unchristian when they cut taxes. And that's what, and balance budgets. And that's what Kasich is telling them.
As we wrap up, David, do you think the format of this debate, the style of it, is going to shake things up maybe for future debates on Fox or other networks?
Well, I think just having Trump there changes anything we've all ever known about debating. I mean, it seems as if Republicans are anxious and ready, excited about these candidates. You could kind of feel the energy in the room, I think. I mean, the one problem they have is there's just so many of them that there aren't very many options about how to structure these debates.
And as you say, there are a lot of them, 10 in that debate, 7 in the earlier debate that we didn't talk about too much. A long time to go still until votes start being cast. Do you think that the field will be winnowed before Iowa caucus?
You know, just at the margins, I think. I don't think it'll be winnowed by much. And the reason is because typically candidates drop out of these races when they run out of money. And in this new era of post-Citizens United and their super PACs and all the money in politics right now, none of these guys are going to run out of money anytime soon. So I think they're all going to hang around and see how they do. And I think we'll have a pretty crowded field up until the convention.
David, thanks a lot for joining us.
Thank you.
That was David Friedlander, contributing writer at the Daily Beast, talking about last night's Republican presidential debate. You can keep sharing your reactions on the Central Time Facebook page.
I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. This is Central Time on the Ideas Network.